So we'll do more of an apologetics thing. Tonight will be more on the defense, and then tomorrow, next week will be more on the offense in terms of like why we believe Christianity is true. Okay. So we're going to do this for 2 weeks, just a two little small series. So I'm going to try to do more smaller series for our Tuesday Bible study instead of like, you know, we've drawn now for 9 months, a year-long series, right? Like the survey of the Old Testament, the survey, you know, what's biblical view of relationship, systematic theology, attribute of God. I think there's places for that, but just the next few weeks we'll look at more smaller series. So for this week, we're going to look more about the defense of faith. So it's a link that's sent. You guys just click on it.
Is it by Slim Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Slim Jim?
Yeah. I wonder who
So is this, it's something about frequent mistakes skeptics make, right? Is that it, the link? Or okay, yeah, so we're going to be looking at that, okay? So in light of that, yeah, I'm no longer as slim, I realize that, but it's okay. We're going back on. So going back on with that is for the next 2 weeks of apologetics, then 2 weeks from now, not next week, but the week after that, we're going to be looking at selected psalms, okay? So the format I'm going to do is going to be a little different. I want to, when we come over, you guys also share what you guys see from the text before I go over it. And then also end with also applications, okay? My applications. Okay, so tonight we will have a quiz for free dinner covered, okay? For free dinner covered. And really it's going to be the question about, like, what are some ways, frequent ways people say the Bible has contradiction, okay? In beginning, talking about apologetics. What is apologetics? Not everyone here doesn't know what is apologetics, but what is apologetics? What is apologetics, Q? Yeah, having a defense for the faith, okay. Have you heard of apologetics before, Albert? Okay, yeah. So it's a fancy way of saying defending your faith, okay. Some of us might say, why does it have to do anything with defending the faith? Because the word apologetics sounds like another English word that's common. What is that word that we hear often? Pretty common? It sounds apologize. Like apologize, okay? Now, the original meaning of apologize in Old English did not mean saying sorry, okay? Mm. It means, you guys ever see sometimes celebrities when they get in trouble, they say, oh, I'm sorry you feel this way, right? But it's not really an apology, right? Give me an example. An example is a politician. Send inappropriate pictures, but then when he got caught, you know, he sent it on his own Twitter account, a politician, a picture of himself indecently exposed. Then when it came time to apologize, he just kind of said, like, oh, I'm sorry you guys kind of feel this way. But if you ever read it, it's not like a genuine sorry. It's more like you guys are all, it's so it's blaming everyone else, blaming the victim, blaming them. Now, is that a true apology or is that a true sorry? No, so no. We would call that an apology in the old school way of saying it's a defense, okay? Not really saying repentant, I'm sorry, I'm confessing my wrongdoing. Does that make sense, okay? So in light of today, we're going to deal with the fact that sometimes people say the Bible is inaccurate. You guys hear that? We've dealt with that last 3 weeks is we looked at how the Bible is reliable. For those people that say like things like, oh, you know what, we don't know what the scripture says. Your Bible version has been changed, the wording, that kind of thing. So we looked for 3 weeks. With all the things, with all that. Very technical, okay? Last time. But now today we're going to deal with the issue of sometimes people say, oh, the Bible has errors. And one kind of errors people say the Bible has is the Bible has contradictions. You guys ever hear people say that? The Bible has errors where they are self-refuting. That what I mean by that, it goes against each, within its own teaching itself, okay? So tonight we're going to look at this. You guys have the link. We're going to be, on the site of over the last few years, I've been slowly looking at Bible, alleged Bible contradiction from a website called Skeptic Annotated Bible. Okay? Skeptic Annotated Bible. And that website has a list of all these Bible contradictions. In fact, that list, I see that always replicated by everywhere. The people always use that list. Okay? By other atheist websites, by even Muslim websites that attack the Christian faith. So I decided a few years ago, decided, you know what? Every week I'm going to just for fun look at one of those contradictions. But I began with the Greek and Hebrew, looking at the passage first, looking at its context, and then I answer. But I think it's easier to say there's a contradiction than actually do the hard work of exegesis. By exegesis, I mean looking at its original context, in the original language, and then from the ground up, looking at the grammar and also surrounding context, say, what does it show, what does it mean in this context, and then show there's not a Bible contradiction. Thus far, as of today, I've looked at 106. Okay, 106. By the way, think about it. If there's 106, if there's a book out there which originated the Skeptic Annotated Bible, is a book that lists Bible contradiction. If there's a book with 106 mistakes, is that a pretty bad thing? Yeah, I would say so, okay? I'm not done with it yet, but I'm heading slowly over time. But I'm going slow because actually looking at its context takes time, okay? It's easier to say there's a mistake than actually say, hey, look at its context and show there's not a mistake, okay? Actually, I think each article I write is actually much longer than the listing, because why? You want to look at the original language and show in its context. As of myself right now, in looking at it, I've been pretty amazed how many of them are pretty bad mistakes. So today we're going to be looking at seven type of patterns. In terms of looking at what when people say there's a Bible contradiction, I've noticed that there's at least seven frequent kinds of mistakes people make. Okay, so today is how many points?
Seven.
Okay. So even later on for tonight, I'm going to quiz you guys by asking what are some common ways of mistakes people have. Okay. Common ways of mistakes. Okay. So these are seven frequent, okay? Seven frequent in my own study and my own looking of it, and we're going to be looking at some examples, okay? The first example we're looking at is verses do not support the skeptic's claims. What do I mean by claims is when people give a true value, when people say, oh, the Bible says A, and the Bible also says B, and look, they contradict. So the claims refer to the truth claims, okay? The truth claims, okay? Let me begin first with this question. How many blind men were healed near Jericho? So if you guys still have your the link, you guys see the part where it says verses that do not support skeptics' claim? You guys could click on that link. The first question, how many blind men were healed near Jericho? Okay. If you guys are there. If you guys are there with me. So if you guys all saw that and click on the link? Yes? Okay. So there's Bible verses the skeptics say where the Bible says there's two people that were blind near Jericho that Jesus healed. And then the skeptic also claimed, and by the way, when I say this, if you guys look at it, the word two and only one, I'm quoting exactly how the Skeptic Annotated Bible has it, okay? So one of the things the Skeptic Annotated Bible says is the Bible also claims there's only one blind man that Jesus healed, okay? Let's look at the first claim first, where the claim is that the atheist, the skeptic, says there's part of the Bible that says there's two. And what verse is that? Did they use to cite that? Matthew what? 20 verses 30. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 20 verse 30. Okay, Matthew 20 verse 30. Okay, I encourage you guys to bring a physical Bible. So I think the first thing in dealing with alleged Bible contradiction, you always ask is, did the skeptic or did anyone interpret the Bible verse properly, right? The same, by the way, that should be the same thing when I teach at church too, right? Whenever I say at church, oh, I have 3 points. If you notice my 3 points, the whole most of the time is spending time to say, where do I see this in the Bible? It's established. Let's look at the passage very carefully, okay? So we must always ask anybody, preachers, Christian, theologians, and even books. We don't believe the books just by itself. And I don't want to say be uberly skeptical, but there should be a healthy, critical spirit of saying, does the person teaching this, does the person looking at this, did they extrapolate it correctly from the Bible, okay? In Matthew 20, verse 30, Nancy, could you read that verse? Okay. So the skeptic here says, according to Matthew 20, 30, they're saying, hey, it teaches that there's two blind men. Okay? Is that true? Did they use that? Did they interpret that verse properly? And I would say the answer is yes, because why? It says two blind what? Men, okay? Then let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, okay? Mark chapter 10, verses 46. Mark chapter 10, verses 46. When we get there, Caleb, would you be able to read Mark chapter 10, verse 46? Yeah, 10,
30,
36. 36. 40.
40. Oh, sorry. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the river.
Okay. Is this verse properly interpreted where this verse says there's only one blind man?
Yeah, it's mentioned.
Yeah, it just only mentioned one, okay? it focuses on one. And I think the reason why it's focusing on one is probably because this individual is probably known within the local church. Or not within the local church, within the church. Because why? It gets very specific, it names him. What's his name?
Bartimaeus.
And then also, by the way, back then they don't have last name. They usually identify people with what? The son of, fill in the blank. And now it's Timaeus, okay? So he's...
Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus.
Yeah. Probably it's explained this because, that's a good point. But I think it's also clarifying. Okay? The name already means, right? Bar means son of Timaeus. It's already saying it again. Redundant just to make sure people know who it is, okay? That's almost like, John McCain III, son of John McCain II, okay? With that, okay? It was actually John McCain IV, who my sister went to the Naval Academy with. Okay, so here we see with this that so and I want to say here so the Bible here the skeptic here made a wrong extrapolation. Okay, the passage does not say only one; it says one, but that does not mean only one. You guys realize that's a total different claim. Now, some people might say, "Oh, well, Jimmy, you're trying so hard. Looking at such a small little point to try to say the Bible has no error." But I want to say those little points matter, okay? By the way, if I could just give an analogy here, I think the point, Matthew 20:30, when it says two, and the passage just says one, is not a contradiction. Maybe give an example. Last year, on September 11th, some of you guys here might not be alive when September 11th happened. My daughter's, okay? What year were you born?
And
what? You were born what month? May. Okay, you're 2003, okay? So you were not even alive when September 11th was born, when September 11th happened, okay? Now, let me ask you guys a question. What happened on September 11th, 2001? Twin Towers. Twin Towers. They bumped into... they didn't just bump... Was it purpose or accident?
Purpose.
Okay, very good, okay? So last year, when I was preaching at Good Time Learning, which is all these little kids, they're all like under 14... when I was teaching it, everyone, just notice my daughters, they said Twin Towers. So Twin Towers, what happened to Twin Towers? There were how many planes that ran into those Twin Towers?
Two,
okay. Is that correct? Yes. Two planes ran into two towers, one per tower. Now, when I was teaching a Good Time Learning with the kids, some of the kids, when I was saying about, oh, that was a tragic day, because you know what happened that day? There was also a plane that also flew into the Pentagon. And most of the kids were like, nuh-uh. They said that wasn't happening. They said, no, it's two planes that were under the tower. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's true. Two planes were under the tower, the Twin Tower in where? In New York.
Right.
But there was also another plane that ran into the Pentagon where the military is at. And they're like, no. I was like, no. What you said is true, but it's not only two planes. There was another plane. And by the way, was there only three planes? There was another fourth plane that crashed, Flight 93, whatever, that crashed in Pennsylvania, right, in the plane. Yeah, and then because the people stopped them, whether the White House or the Capitol building, they're not too sure. So I bring up this to say an example is this, okay? Is so many kids would think only about Twin Towers. I think when we think of 9/11, we think of those towers first. So if you see a movie that focuses on the Twin Tower, that does not mean, therefore, if there's another documentary that focuses, and there are documentaries that focus only on the attack of the Pentagon or Flight 93, does that make sense? You can't say, oh, I watched three documentaries, and they're all false. Look, they're contradicting with each other. Why is it two planes that were on the tower? And then here it says one, and here it says all four. Does that make sense? So when you synthesize all the witnesses, you don't say, okay, because none of those things say only. Does that make sense? I give the example, say, is this. The skeptic's claim here of only one, is it legitimate, or is it a proper extrapolation or improper extrapolation for Matthew correction, Mark, chapter 10, verse 46. Okay? So, is this a proper contradiction? No, okay? And by the way, I see this a lot, where the skeptics, if you guys could press back button, verses that do not support the skeptic's claim. You know, you could have another example there. You don't have to click on the link where I cited in that paragraph. Who argued in favor of occupying Canaan during the Exodus? And the skeptics did the same thing. They said, oh, some passage says the spies of Caleb and also Joshua, son of Nun, were the one advocating. And in some passage, and one passage said Caleb right? But then from that passage, I mentioned Caleb. They said, see, it says only Caleb. But again, is that a proper interpretation or improper? It's improper because Numbers 13 says Caleb, but it doesn't say only Caleb. But then the next chapter, Numbers 14, says it's Caleb and Joshua, okay? So that's an example, okay? Let's look at a second claim. Second way, the frequent mistake, is the first one is verses do not support skeptics' claim. If you guys, what's the second claim, guys? If you guys are reading this? What's the second frequent mistakes skeptics make when they claim alleged Bible contradiction? What is that? Yeah, claims are not mutually exclusive. You guys know what I mean by that? It's saying that if this claim is true, that does not rule out the second claim that's given, okay? You guys see the link where it says who was Sodom's, what was Sodom's sin? Could you guys click on that? Would you guys be able to click on that for a moment? Falling into this one as well. Yeah, I think some of these overlap also as well, okay? But the first one I'm looking at is more the fact that they didn't extrapolate, interpret that verse properly, okay? So this point, the first category is a subset of this, but this category is also involves, even if they interpret the verse properly, if they extrapolate the premise properly, it still does not mutually exclude or says the other one cannot be the case at the same time, okay? With that, okay? So here in this link that we clicked on here now, we're looking at scripture mentions Sodom, okay? Now Sodom, is that a good city or bad city in the Bible? Bad, okay? Now we're going to see that the skeptics are saying, hey, the Bible mentioned various sins of the Bible, and they're saying now it's a contradiction, okay? The first sin is the sin of inhospitality, okay? Do you guys have your outline? Luke chapter 10, verses 10 to 12, Mr. Byrne, would you be able to read that? Luke chapter 10, verses 10 to 12, sorry.
But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, so Luke 10,
yeah,
10 to 12, right? Yeah. Okay, whatever city you enter,
and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust off of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure that of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day of Sodom than for that city.
Okay. By the way, this verse, this passage here, in the context is in the New Testament. Jesus sends the apostles to go witness each town. And they say, hey, if they reject you, guess what? Shake the dust out of your city, off the feet of your feet, in protest. Then it also then makes a point of saying, hey, comparing to those cities that rejected Jesus' apostles, those cities will be judged more harsh because of how much grace has been given than even Sodom itself, okay? So the skeptic here is extrapolating from this and saying, okay, that means Sodom's sin is like this other city by basically inhospitality. Let me say this real quick. Today, if you go online, and sometimes you see this, and also, and I've heard this when I was in UCLA. One of my history class, secular professor said, Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom's sin was not homosexuality. Sodom's sin is inhospitality. But I would actually say the sin is not because they're not close and nice to people. Sometimes you might even say they're a little bit want to be too close to another guy, right? Yeah. Just in the way of the content. I'm just being honest, okay?
I mean, they were inhospitable.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. Just reprehensible.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Under rape the ages.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? Yes, exactly.
Different from being inhospitable.
Yeah. So you see skeptics make these kind of, you hear the LGBT movement make that kind of, which I think doesn't really do justice to that passage, okay? But nevertheless, they were inhospitable. It's one of their sin, okay? But then let's look at Jude 7, okay? So if you guys open your Bibles, turn all the way to almost to Revelation, and then, you know, the last book of the Bible, but the second to last book is called Jude, okay? Small book, Jude 7. We only say 7 because why? There's only one chapter, okay? Nathan Chow, would you be able to read Jude 7?
Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities
say in the same way as the indulged in gross immorality and by acting strange flesh are exhibited as an example in undergoing.
Okay. So Jude 7 here identify the sin of Sodom is what? They pursued after strange flesh. This is referring back to Genesis 19. And Genesis 19, 4, 5. They wanted what? Male angels to do things inappropriate with them. Okay? So, the skeptics who look at this, how many sin did we see mentioned thus far? Two. Let's look at one more. Okay? Let's look at one more. Turn with me to Jeremiah 23, verse 14. Albert, would you be able to read Jeremiah 23, verse 14? Jeremiah 23, verse 14. Jeremiah 23, verse 14.
I among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns from his wickedness. They are all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah.
Okay, thank you so much. So Jeremiah 23 in the context is God sent a prophet to Jeremiah, to God's people, the nation, and said, you know what? You guys are so sinful. You guys are just like what city? Sodom and Gomorrah. You guys are similar to Sodom and Gomorrah in what ways? Including the sin of what? Walking in falsehood and committing adultery. Okay? So with these three sins mentioned, are they a contradiction here? The sins are what again? Inhospitality? Pursuing after strange flesh? And thirdly is adultery and lies. Is this a Bible contradiction? What do you guys think? Yeah, you could do most of these sins more than once, right? Also as well, okay? It's like if Sodom and Gomorrah was arrested, right? They could be charged multiple charges, yes?
Right.
Do criminals get charged multiple charges?
Yeah.
Okay? Sometimes for multiple things, okay? Like in the Marine Corps, when you get court-martialed, they always have one. They always throw in no matter what. It's unbecoming of a Marine. So that's the catch-all, right? Anything that they don't have in the rest of the title. But then every time they throw everything else, you know, for drunkenness, for murder, they always throw that one extra one in for unbecoming of the United States Marine, okay? So that's to say, I'm bringing those to say, these things are not mutually exclusive. Does that make sense? So in answering your question, Nathan Chow earlier, the difference between the first one and the second one, some of these things, by the way, overlap. The first one is to say, okay, they're properly improperly interpreting the verse. But here in all these three, I think the skeptic was right in saying, look at Jude 7. Did they really pursue after strange flesh sexually? Yes. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 14. Did they commit adultery? Did they interpret that verse properly? Yes. But even if these passages were properly interpreted by the skeptics are still wrong because they are not mutually exclusive. You could have all of these and still they're not in conflict with one another. Okay. So I do see this a lot happening. Okay. If you guys could scroll, push back on the button and go back to the first outline. Originally, okay. So if you look at that, if you guys look at the second part, which says claims that are not mutually exclusive, I list a few more, okay? A few more representative, okay? By the way, each one I'm only giving no more than 5 or 6 examples, okay? Another one, we don't have to click on it, I'm just saying real quick, is what did the centurion call Jesus when he died, okay? There's part of the Bible that says the centurion, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Roman soldiers looked at it, and centurion basically is like a company commander. Centurion comes from the root word, basically meaning a leader of 100, okay? So he's basically like a company commander, kind of like what Mr. Byrne, your son, is in charge of, a company right now. A company commander is in charge of 100 or more soldier, a little more than 100, 100 to 200, okay? So that centurion, when he saw Jesus dying on the cross, you know what he said? He said, whoa, this is a righteous man. There's a Bible verse that says that. Then there's another Bible verse that also says, whoa, this is the Son of God. And then the skeptics say it's a contradiction. But is that a contradiction? No, because why? Could he say both statements? And when you say both statements, they're not in conflict. By the way, the Son of God, would he be a righteous man? Yes, okay? So they're not in necessarily mutually exclusive, okay? They're not mutually exclusive. The other one is, who buried Jesus? You guys don't have to click on that, but I'm just summarizing real quick. That one where some Bible verses says Joseph of Arimathea buried it, and then some says Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But are they mutually exclusive? No. Just because one mentioned one witness and the other one is not. Okay. I bring this to say, by the way, a few years ago, I was looking. You guys know that India and Pakistan, they don't get along politically. A few in England, by the way, in England, they always have a soldiers' competition. Like they have called a Cambrian exercise, okay? Where they have soldiers from all over the world compete, like in like groups of six or seven or eight, small squad to compete. And one year, they loaded on Facebook, the winner were Pakistanis. The Pakistan soldiers won, okay? And then you saw all these Indians commenting and said, no, we won, okay? So then I started thinking, wait, how could there people, all these people will keep on saying from India, they won. And then I looked it up, you know what happened? That year there was a tie. India and Pakistan won. So all these Indians were going over, like from India, commenting, saying, no, you Pakistanis, you guys think you guys are first place. No, we won first place. And all these Pakistanis, what are you commenting? Look at the video, dude, we won first place. And then all of a sudden, guess what happened? When I did Google, India win first place, what did I found out? I found a video. They were also congratulated for winning first place. Then I found an article that finally says what? They both tie that year, okay? I bring this to say it's not a contradiction. They're not mutually exclusive, okay? Sometimes we think so, but then we have to look very carefully. Does that make sense? So I bring this to say an example that sometimes our biases can read, we can look at a Bible verse and right away say, oh, these guys are not, okay? Same thing. The skeptics are like the Indians and Pakistanis. An example is they're so biased, they say it cannot be the possibility when really they're not mutually exclusive, okay? So if you're still with the outline, if you guys scroll up, I give the definition. If you guys scroll up, the second paragraph, I give the definition of a contradiction, okay? In that paragraph, you guys see that paragraph? And I think it's very important to remember the definition of a contradiction, because oftentimes people mention paradoxes, but they're not contradictions. Paradoxes are apparent contradictions, but they really are not contradictions, okay? Oftentimes people make that mistake because they have not clearly defined what a contradiction is, okay? So this paragraph says this, okay? A contradiction occurs. Actually, yes, because they did this after me. A contradiction occurs when two or more claims conflict with one another, so they cannot simultaneously be true. In the same sense, at the same time. Okay. So, in other words, the claims that they're what? Mutually exclusive of one another. If this claim is true, the other claim cannot be possibly be true. Does that make sense? Okay, that's what a contradiction is. So with this as a definition, let's also look. There's some claims the skeptic gives, and it's not a contradiction because of differences of time. Okay, because of differences of time. If you guys could scroll down, you guys see the part, the heading where it says differences of time. You guys see that first sentence? Did or did not Samaritans receive Jesus? Could you guys click on that? Okay, let's click on that. And now Phil, yeah. Would you be able to, at this moment,
yeah.
Turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 39 to 40, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking at a verse, or two verses, where the skeptics will say, hey, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 39 to 40. The skeptics are going to... chapter 4, verses 39 to 40.
Which one are you going to read? 39?
Yeah, 39 to 40, both.
Okay.
Out loud.
From the city, is that right?
It is.
Is
that
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From the city, many of the Samaritans believe in him because the words of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. And then so when Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days.
Okay, yeah. Right. So in this passage, they interpret it properly that the Samaritans received Jesus. By way of context, this Samaritan woman, Jesus has just told her about her sin. You once had five husbands, the man you're with is no longer your husband. And then now she, what? So convicted, she's like, this must be the Messiah. How does he know me? She goes to her hometown. Her whole town came out to hear this Jesus. And what did they do? Did they receive Jesus here?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Let's now turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 52 to 53, okay? Luke chapter 9, verses 52 to 53. Nancy, would you be able to read that verse when you get there? Hannah, could you find that? Hannah. We're doing a Bible study quickly, okay? Luke chapter 9, verses 52 to 53. Okay. So did this passage show the Samaritans rejecting Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, okay. But is there a Bible contradiction?
Yes.
No.
No.
No, there's no Bible contradiction. Okay. Say there's no?
There's no
Bible contradiction.
Okay. Bible contradiction.
Yeah, there's no error with the Bible, okay? So what's going on here? It's two different times, okay? Two different times. John 4 was a different time than with Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 53. By the way, in Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 53, this is towards the end.
So two different times?
Yeah. In the Gospel of John, it shows Jesus went to Jerusalem three different times. This would be in the earlier time. In Luke chapter 9, this is really, if you look at Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 52, shows
the
this
word
is...
knows the time where I...
Yeah, can I finish real quick? So the Luke chapter 9 reveals this is Jesus' last time going to Jerusalem. He's marching from Luke chapter 9 to the end. This is his last time marching to Jerusalem where he's going to go die. Okay. So there's a different of time period of John. Okay. So this
time, he went before...
the first time he went with the Samaritan woman incident in Samaria, they received him. But his final march to Jerusalem, the Samaritan villages did not receive him. Okay? It might be also, by the way, been different Samaritan time. But the key point is, it's not a contradiction because it's different time. Okay, let me give you guys an example, an everyday example. Let me ask you guys this question: Nathan Chow, are you hungry?
A little.
A little bit. Okay. Let's just say, Nathan Chow, you don't eat for the next 10 hours. And in the middle of 10 hours, it was in the middle of the night, you woke up or whatever else, and I asked you, are you hungry? Would your answer might be different? Yeah, okay. Could you imagine for a moment if I went to my wife, like during lunchtime, I asked, after she finished lunch, I asked, Nancy, are you hungry? What her answer is when she just got done? No, okay. Then right now, I ask her, hey, are you hungry? Right before dinner. No, let's just... And then before she eats dinner, I ask, are you hungry? And then she said, yes, I'm hungry. Then I said, what? You make no sense. You always go back and forth, right? Then the question is, there's nothing wrong with Nancy. There's something wrong with me. Because it's the difference of time, okay? Now, yes, it is true. When someone's hungry and not hungry, they do conflict with one another. But that is, just because they conflict doesn't mean it's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction because it happened at a different what? Time. Does that make sense? So if you guys could press back to the first original outline. You guys could press back, okay? So what are the three thus far that we've seen? What's the first one again? Skeptics claim, okay. The second one is what? Caleb, was the second claim? Or frequent mistake?
Frequent
claim. Yeah, okay. And the third one we just look at is difference of time. Now, what is the fourth one? Difference sense of the same word being used, okay? Does that make sense? I'll probably phrase it awkwardly, okay? If you guys can, for that one, click, did Jesus say he would always be with his disciples, okay? Did Jesus say he would always be with his disciples? And now the skeptic is going to give a verse that says, no, Jesus says he will not always be present with us. And then there's another passage where it says, he will always be present with us. Okay? Let's begin with a passage where, yes, Jesus is always present with us. Matthew 28:20. Caleb, you could just read it from the outline too.
Matthew 28:20.
Mm-hmm. Okay? This verse shows Jesus, is he always present with us?
Yes,
okay? But then there's other passages where Jesus is not present. Turn with me to Matthew 26:11. Nathan Chow, you can read that too, Matthew 26:11. You can read it from the link. Under no.
For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have
me. Okay, yeah. So here Jesus says, hey, you don't always have me. Okay. And the context was there Jesus their followers were like, hey, how come you guys like, you know, basically, you know, how you guys give is different, right? Mm. People obviously give with Christ and everything else. And Jesus says what? Hey, you don't always have me with you. The poor you always have, okay? In other words, he's saying he's not always going to be present. Look with me also as well, Mark 14, verse 7. Mr. Burton, Mark 14, verse 7. Would that be okay, Mr.
Sure.
Burton?
Sure.
Okay.
The poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me.
Okay, very good, okay. Here we see in Mark 14, same thing, right? Now let me ask you guys a question. Is there a contradiction here? Do they conflict? In one sense, superficially, they can. But by the way, in order to back up in answering this, Jesus Christ, we've got to remember, has how many nature? Two. What is the two nature of Christ? He's divine. That is, he's God and also what? Fully man. In his humanity, is Christ always present? Is his humanity always present?
No.
No, okay. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I don't believe the Lord's Supper. You know, there's some Christian... Now, I love you, Ben Wartz, but this is where I'm going to, you know, disagree with you slightly as a Lutheran, okay? I know you believe in that word, okay? I don't believe that's truly Christ, because why? Christ is fully human. He can't be present in humanity. Could you be present everywhere? All the time. When Albert is here at TCAC, I mean, in our home for Bible study, that means he's not present at home, right? When Nathan Chow, when you are in Seattle, are you present here? Like physically? No. You might say in spirit, you pray for us, that kind of thing. You think about us. You Skype in, like Ben Wartz, that kind of thing. But that does not mean what? Because in human nature, the humanity of Christ, is he present with us today?
Yes.
Is in, no, in human part. No, because his human body is where? Has ascended to heaven, okay? Will his human body come back to earth one day? Yes, okay? But still, Christ is also all present everywhere. That's the divine part. Does that make sense? So in light of these two senses, do you guys see here how there is two different senses being used? He's present with us in his divinity. He's always present with us. But in his humanity, he's not present. So this is an example of presence of how it's used in different sense that's being used. In other words, word can have more than one sense, okay? You guys could go back with me. I want to look at some other examples. There's other examples that's being given here. Different sense. Also, could words have more than one meaning?
Sure.
Okay? Words could have more than one meaning, okay? Here, I'm just going to summarize real quick that in Hebrew, there's a word for son is ben, okay? The word for son is Ben. But the word Ben actually can have more than one meaning. Okay, it can mean son or grandson. Okay, so here's a whole bunch of contradiction where the skeptics say, oh, you know what? Naaman are they the son or grandson of Benjamin? Okay, and the answer is what? It could be both. Okay, so they're saying, okay, well, how come sometimes the word says son, when really, literally, it's grandson? But in the Hebrew, the word son is Ben. It could have that range of meaning. So is that a contradiction? No, okay? I give a whole example here, okay? Achan's father, who is Achan's father, who is Laban's father, all these other examples, okay? Where it's not a contradiction because the word has more than one sense, yes? Okay? By the way, in English, even in everyday language, could there be more than one, could words have more than one meaning? Yes, okay? You guys know the word whoppers? What does whoppers mean? When I say whoppers, what do you guys think of? The burgers. Oh, man, I'm hungry. Burger King. Or the what? Candy, okay? But is that the only meaning?
No.
Is there a third meaning also?
Yes.
What's the third meaning? It's a mistake. You make a big mistake, okay? Let's just say you call me, hey, Jimmy, when you come over to my house, could you get me a Whopper? And then I come over, and you're drooling, you're like, oh, I can't wait for of a burger from, what was that place called?
Burger King.
Burger King. Then I come over, and then I get you, oh, you know, I just went to 7-Eleven, and I just got you Whopper. You're like, uh-oh. And I give you a box of Whoppers. Then what happened? And they're like, no, that's not what I mean. I meant what? I meant the burger. I meant Burger King. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, we can't have it your way, okay? You know, and then it says, hey, you just made a big Whopper. I'm getting the one Whopper. One kind of Whopper, right? So notice, in that same sentence, in that same paragraph, we're talking about Whoppers in three different meanings with three different what? Sense. How do you know which sense I'm using it? Is according to its context, okay? So that's a three different sense that's being used here. Okay, I'm going to go over faster here right now. Also, as well, there's confusion of names, okay? Confusion of names. Sometimes two individuals, could they have the same names?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys see on that, could actually, if you guys do click with me for this one, how long Joash did reign. Could you guys click on this real quick? If you guys clicked on that, the skeptic here thinks there's a Bible contradiction because they say, if you guys looking and answering the question, how long did Joash reign? The first claim, what did they say how long did Joash reign for?
40 years,
okay? 2 Kings 12:1, I'll read this real quick. In the 7th year of Jehu, Joash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba, okay? Did 2 Kings 12:1 say 40 years? Yes, okay?
Yes.
But then they say, hey, there's a Bible contradiction, because another part of the Bible says 16 years, okay? 2 Kings 13:10, where do we left off at? Where do we left off in terms of reading? Caleb, would you be able to read? 2 Kings, you can just read that one.
In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, became king over Israel and Samaria, reigned 16 years.
Okay. Yeah, so this sounds like, oh, whoa, is 16 years and 14 years the same?
No.
Could someone be, at the same time, in the same sense, be king for 16 years and 40 years? No, okay. I actually think this is an example of, not a Bible contradiction, this is really two individuals that happen the same name. Two different individuals with the same name. Why did I say this? If you guys are with your outlines, I make the first, so I'm going to give really 4 points why I think they're two different individuals here, okay? The Joash, Jehoash of 2 Kings 12 is different than 2 Kings 13. Okay. Notice if you're looking, the first point I would say why they're a different individual is this. Okay. Point number one is notice they live in different location. Okay. So 2 Kings 12, where does he 12:1? Where does he live at? You guys just look at the outline, scrolling up and down. Jerusalem. Okay. Jerusalem is the capital of what? By the way, at this point in 2 Kings, the kingdom of God, of the Jews, have been split into two kingdoms. What's the name of the two kingdoms? Judah and Israel. Okay, just for you guys to know. By the way, the skeptics, I think, don't really know their Bibles. That's why they read 2 Kings. I remember when I was a young Christian, reading this, being very confused before someone told me, oh, there are two different kingdoms already. They split because they fought among each other. Okay, so Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. Okay, so that means the 2 Kings 12, he's the king of Judah. Okay, 2 Kings 13:10, where is he a king? Where did he live at? Samaria, okay? Samaria is usually the capital of Israel. The 10 northern tribes was that. So, in other words, you see that this is one evidence that within this verse, they're two different individuals, okay? Judah and Israel, they always fight each other. They're not the same king. Well, you guys do the same thing at the same time. But he has a different individual. He has a whole thing back. That's pretty crazy. He has one back at the same time, okay? So is that clue number one, that they're different individuals, though they have the same name. Clue number two, they had different fathers, okay? Now, they had different fathers. Now, in 2 Kings 13, what was his father's name? 2 Kings 13:10, yeah. You guys can look at the outline.
Jehoahaz,
okay? I don't have time to go over this right now, but you guys could read the outline. The 2 Kings 12:1 is actually the son of Ahazazah, because chapter before that, in chapter 11, verse 1, in talking about the kings of Judah, the history of Judah says that Jehoahaz is the son of I can't pronounce these names. They're different, okay? Okay. There's also another thing, is also the evaluation of both kings is very different, okay? Now in 2 Kings 12:2, God approves of this king. It says there that he's right in the sight of the Lord all his days. But in 2 Kings 13:11, is a different person, because 2 Kings 13:11 says that this king, Jehoahaz, those same name, did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn away from all the sins of Jeroboam, okay? So you see that? They have two different evaluations here, okay? By the way, they're buried in different places, okay? 2 Kings 12:1, this Jehoahaz was buried in the city of David, which is what? The city of Jerusalem, okay? The king of Jehoash in 2 Kings 13:10, he was buried in Samaria, okay? Buried in two different places. Now, if someone's buried in two different places, you can't be buried in two different places, because why? At the same time. Therefore, this means they're, all these clues show they're two different individuals, okay? Just because they have the same name does not mean they're the same individuals. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Two halves are buried, okay? But there's no Bible verse that says that, but yeah, I guess that could be possible too. But that's good. At least you're exercising thinking of different possibilities, okay? So I think that all these clues taken together, the massive amount that we see, these four circumstantial clues, shows that these are different individuals, okay? Think about this for a moment. Could you imagine? What do you guys say to somebody if someone comes up to you and says, I believe my history book has a contradiction? Because when I open up my book, it says President James was president for 8 years. Then when I turn to another page of the book, it says President James was president for 4 years. Do you guys write to say there's a contradiction? No. Is there more than one President James?
Yes.
Is there more than one president with a president? Yeah, first name James. What are some president with first name James? Not Bush, that's George. Very good. James Monroe.
Polk.
James Polk. James Buchanan, okay? Exactly, okay? James Madison served for 8 years. James Monroe served for 8 years. James Buchanan served for 4 years, okay? James
Polk
is 4 years. Very good, okay? James Garfield was for like a year and 2 months or something. Because why? He got shot.
Oh, he was like months.
Yeah, he just got shot, okay?
And he was a good Christian man, too.
Yeah, okay?
Yeah, he was.
So you guys get the idea, okay, with that, okay? With that also said, you can't say, oh, there's a contradiction. Oh, by the way, back then, they often, last name is what? They don't have last name, they say son of whatever. And it's clearly identified their different fathers, okay? Son of whatever, okay? The same thing, you can't say, oh, James Polk served president for 4 years. How come does this contradict? There's James Madison who served 8 years. How does this contradict with James Garfield, who died within like less than 2 years, okay? Because what? They're actually referring to different individuals. Just because they have the same name does not, okay? If you guys could press back, space button. Oh man, I think this is going to spill over to next week, okay? This is going to spill over to next week, okay? So we're going to spill over, but at least I'm going to end with this final one, okay? Actually, we'll just finish it for tonight, okay? The other part is also as well are the sons of David, okay? And also what is God's name? Could you believe it? They actually say the Skeptic Annotated Bible actually says is a contradiction when they ask the question, what is God's name? Why is that contradiction? Could you have more than one name?
Sure,
yes, okay. You could have, right, Jehovah, Jireh, all these different titles, okay? That does not mean, okay? If you guys could click on this, what is God's name? Let's look at some of the names and titles that's in the scripture. Jehovah. What's the second one?
Jealous,
okay? What's the third one that's listed? Jah, okay? And the fourth one is what? I am, okay? By the way, it's not a contradiction here, because Jehovah, literally in Hebrew, means what? I am. Basically, I am who I am, okay? Jah is a shortened form of what? Jehovah, okay?
Jehovah.
So that's almost like someone, you say, oh, you know what? I don't think William exists at church, because, or I don't believe Benjamin exists at church, because why? Because people call him Ben, people call him Benji, and people call him Benjamin. Right?
Right.
Is that a contradiction?
Yeah.
And someone else, and Pastor Jimmy calls him a punster, right?
No.
Is that a contradiction? No, just because four different things. Is because what? Some of these are just shortened forms of other things. By the way, if someone goes over and says, you know what, my name is Bill, and then later on someone calls him Will, is that a contradiction? No, it's the same form of name. Just the same thing here. Jah, I am, and everything else. And by the way, if he has another name, is that a contradiction? No, right?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone here at TCC with more than one name?
I think it's first and middle name.
Yeah, first and middle name, so you'll use their middle name. Ben Chung. Legal name is not Ben Chung. I can't pronounce the Chinese name. But he has a legal name is a Chinese name, okay? But so when you look at Ben, you don't say, oh, Ben doesn't exist at church. It's all the figment of your imagination. How could he exist? Because he's called Ben, Benji, Benjamin, and also called whatever his Chinese name also at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, he
no, doesn't. Well, not my original name because it's under Chinese language.
Yeah, okay. So that's an example, okay?
Yeah.
So that's not a contradiction, okay? Let's go to, if you guys can scroll back, sorry. Scroll back. We're going to end with this tonight. I'm just going to summarize the rest, okay? The other one is ignorance of, oh man, I really missed this one. Ignorance of geography, okay? One of the questions they asked is, did Jesus ascend to Bethany from a Bethany? That is when Jesus Christ went back to heaven after his resurrection. Did he ascend from Bethany or Mount Olive? And the answer is yes. Because Bethany is a town that is on Mount Olive. Okay? This is the ignorance of geography. Okay? Another one that's mentioned is what tribe was Abijah from? This is about this one town. Like which tribe was it under? And they actually did not know Israel history. That tribe, the tribal land of Abijah switched in different time in what? Jewish history. That's an example of ignorance of geography. And they say it's a contradiction. Okay? The other one is also bearing and saying bye to parents in Luke 59, verse 62. So the skeptic actually says, you know what? Jesus says, don't bury anyone. Don't bury your parents. But another passage says, honor your parents. It sees the Bible contradiction. Well, this is where geography is important. Because do you guys remember where did Jesus say, hey, don't bury your parents? Do you guys remember where we're at geographically? Jesus was saying he was just going to the Samaritan town. They rejected him. So therefore, all the disciples of Jesus, they sleep inside houses or they slept outside?
Outside
in what? In
tent.
Not in tent. They were in the area of Samaria. That's like if you're traveling, you're going to Nevada. And while you're traveling to Nevada, and you're going to go to Arizona, okay? Yeah, in order to go to Arizona, you have to pass by Nevada. Then suddenly you realize, oh, this is very hard. Then you suddenly say, oh, you know what? I have something to do. I need to go bury my parents. Don't you get kind of suspicious?
Yes.
By the way, back then, did they have phones? Did they have text? So that's even more suspicious. That, oh, I forgot to do something. I need to bury your parents. So then Jesus says, don't bury your parents. Do you guys see that? That's very different. If you know the geography of what's going on here. So ignorance of geography leads them to say this Bible contradiction.
Yeah.
When you realize, oh, you know what? That's like someone say, oh, I'm going to make this crazy trip. Walk all the way to Arizona, and all of a sudden halfway says, oh, you know what, guys? I have no cell phone or anything, but I need to go water the garden in my house back in California. You'll be like, what? Dude, let the garden water its own stuff. What are you talking about, right? There's a sense of sarcasm here, okay? And also ignorance of original languages. This is I'm going to leave it here, but there's a lot of ignorance of original language. I can't believe that this author of Skeptic Annotated Bible, his name is Steve Wells. He goes on podcasts being interviewed, and he does not know the Bible's original language. Could you imagine if you were to take a class at UC something, UC Irvine, whatever, or in college, or Cal State, and someone's teaching you about Norwegian literature, but that person does not know anything of the Norwegian language. But that depends on English language, right? Would you be kind of suspicious if they keep on saying, look, I have 500 problems of Norwegian literature? You almost be like, oh, what's your credential? And this guy has no shame. Because some of the things he points out is like, man, this guy does not know the original language. Okay? These examples, we don't have time to go over them, but it's just like, wow. But I want to say, even a lot of the things we can see in English, there's already a lot of problems already. Okay? In fact, most contradictions, he could refute it even without the original language. But sometimes some of them do. Okay? Let me stop at this point. Is there any questions? Questions? Comments? So these are 7 frequent ways people say there's...